All right, the book of 2 Timothy tonight will be in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight, and we continue, as we know, in our series on church health, and we want to be a healthy church. And how are we a healthy church? We individually are healthy. And so we look forward to what the Bible has for us tonight. And let me say to some of you, I don't know if this applies to anyone, but some of you, if you have emailed me or texted me, I have no idea. I got locked out of my email, and I know as soon as I say that, Brother Wilson's going to come down to me and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" I'll get to you when I want to get to you about being locked out of my email. And if you've texted me, I got a new phone. And so I went from like 54 or 44 unanswered texts to 6. So I don't know who got dropped out. So don't leave the church because I didn't respond to your email. I just on purpose didn't get access back to it. So, I felt like I should say that. And so hopefully by 2027, I'll be hooked back up. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and we will look at verse number 16 and verse 17, probably a familiar verses of Scripture to most of us, and it's from where we'll get our text tonight, starting with verse number 16 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. All Scripture. How much Scripture?
All.
No exception. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, there's some who might want to minimize the Word of God, and that verse right there ought to take care of that. And we ought to maximize what God has inspired, and it's His Word, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Tonight, this is where we'll start, and to be a healthy church, we've got to have the foundation of the Word. Foundation of the Word. You say, well, Pastor, it's church, that goes without saying. But if we're not careful, we'll take for granted how important the foundation is. In fact, somebody builds a new house or they buy a new house and they invite somebody over and say, come look at our house. They'll say, look at the color of paint that we picked and look at this feature and this feature. I've yet to be invited where somebody says, let me pull back this carpet so you can see the foundation. Let me walk you around the house so you can see how firm of a foundation I have. We take it for granted. And if we can take it for granted in that scenario, we can take it for granted when it comes to church, to our life, to our home. So we can apply this tonight. As a church, we have to be reminded the foundation has got to be the central thing of our church. But if you're going to be a healthy Christian, it's got to be your foundation too. It's got to be the foundation of your life. It's got to be the foundation of your home. It's got to be the foundation of your marriage. And we'll look at that tonight. To be healthy, we got to have the foundation of the Word. Father, help us tonight as we look at these truths. Help us tonight as we consider what you have given us in your Word. May we be strengthened this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're reminded of a healthy church, and a healthy church is to build a healthy church, you got to have the Word of God. In this day we live in this, I'll use an old terminology, but it's new to some of you, seeker-sensitive, or what do people want in a church? It's not what people want, it's what people need. People need the Word of God. We have to be governed by the Word of God. Do you know that's not the way we do things anymore? It's not AD 30 anymore. Well, that's fine, but we still are governed by the Word of God. And how do we sustain? How do we get through things? It's the Word of God we lean on. We consider the authority of Scripture in the life of the church. This isn't a Bible study just on authority tonight, but when it comes to the Word of God, we have to mention the authority. What is the authority? Scripture is the authority. You are not the authority. I am not the authority. Scripture is the authority. That order we live in under the authority. Who has God established to do what in the church? What is What are we supposed to do in the church? What is our mission? We operate under that authority. It is the Word of God. Now, we have bylaws because we're required to have bylaws. But can I tell you, how do we operate? We operate by these bylaws. And this isn't in my Bible study either, but I feel like saying it. And it's a good time to say it when this isn't a problem. But if you want to make more about the bylaws and the fact that the Word of God is preached, there's a problem there. We operate by the Word of God. Everybody all right with that? If you're not, I'll get the bylaws out and vote you out. So, no, but it's the authority of the Scripture. Let me make this statement to you before we get to the outline. The foundation is going to determine the future. The foundation of this church, why can't Satan kill this church? Because of the foundation it's on. If you want to be sustained, and any Christian who has been sustained, not through days, years, months, years, but decades, it's because they have the right foundation. And you young couples, build the foundation on the Scripture. Young adults, build your foundation on the Scripture. If you don't have the right foundation, you have no guarantee of the future. The foundation determines the future. That's why you don't want to shortcut a new relationship. You don't want to shortcut what God might be doing because of the foundation. The foundation is weak. How are you going to know? You're going to start seeing some cracks. The structure shifts, and then there's going to be collapse. That is so true in the church. See, the foundation of a healthy church, and I would say that I would consider us a healthy church. We're not a perfect church, but I think we're a healthy church. It is not built on personality. Although I have a wonderful magnetic personality, it is not built on the personality of the pastor. It's there's people there I don't like. Well, it's not built on their personality. It is built on the Word. I've never understood Christians who wants to try and find a better situation because of a policy they don't like. When the foundation, you can jump on it, a hurricane can come through, blow the walls down, but there's that foundation. And you can throw up another structure on that foundation. And everything the foundation sustains. I just don't understand that. It's not built on necessarily culture. And it's like, in America we've been blessed because throughout the centuries our culture has lined up with, but our culture's not that way anymore. And you can't depend on culture. You can't depend on preference. You can't depend on innovation. I mean, I like technology. I like, you say, well, Pastor, I don't think we should do this. Well, there was a generation one day that didn't think they should have air conditioning. And if you bring that to me tonight, I will vote you out of the church because I think we should have air conditioning. I like that. I like indoor plumbing. For those that don't want technology, we'll get you an outhouse out there. So you can be consistent. I had way too much coffee today. But we cannot depend on modern technology. It's like, Pastor, we have this new app for soul winning and visitation. Okay, well, the app's not knocking on anybody's door. The app's not smiling at anybody. You get the point. Well, so what is our foundation? It's the Word of God. We ought to have everything, and we can testify to this, because we could be under a tent where we would sweat too much in the summer and we would freeze too much in the winter because everything just couldn't stay the right temperature, and we would grow. You know why? It wasn't because the tent was cool. It's because of the Word of God. And that's got to be the foundation. We got to make sure it's the right foundation. Because when the Word of God is central to everything we do, the church is going to stay strong. When the Word of God is put on the sidelines or pushed back into the corner or taken down the priority list, the church slowly weakens. And we have to be reminded of that. And there's many of you, this might help you just to think of this. You've been here for a long time. You've heard it all preached before. And sometimes you say, well, why is Pastor on that? Because I know that. I've heard that. But there's others who've never heard it. And so things have to be taught over and over and over again. We have to be reminded the Word of God has got to stay central. I'll give you the outline tonight. Number one, a healthy church believes the Word of God is sufficient. The word sufficient, I use that on purpose, it means enough. It's sufficient. Well, what do you have besides preaching? Well, the Word of God is sufficient. You know why we have the music program we have? Because it prepares our heart for the Word of God. Us singing praises to Him, us putting our mind on Him, so that the Word of God is more effective. Our text tonight, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's a good reminder for you and I. And that's why the inspiration, use the word issue, is important. It does important what Bible you have in front of you. Because there's something that's been breathed by God, breathed life into. How arrogant for man to say, let's say what God really meant. Adam didn't breathe life into himself. He had to have God breathe life into it to him so he could live. See, it would not matter if the Bible was just a collection of human ideas. And can I just say this? You have to be careful with something. I've been on these so-called podcasters, like these political pundits, who have no idea what they're talking about. But there's some who honestly are trying to come to the truth, and they're just not there. There's one that's very popular, and I'm not telling you not to listen to him, is Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson looks at the Bible as a lot of good ideas. He's not yet come fully to the truth, in my opinion. And so we have to be reminded of that. Somebody can even talk positively about it, but we understand that the Bible is a God-breathed book. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's not a religious suggestion. You know, what are we supposed to do to be in the church? It's not a religious suggestion. It's not a cultural document. That's why you can preach out of the Word of God in this country. You can take the same book and you can preach out of it in another country. This coming week, Lord willing, I'll be in St. Lucia. And I'll preach out this same Bible in St. Lucia that I'm preaching out of tonight. And you know what happens? Those people can understand it. You know why? Because it bears witness. The author of this book is the same one who dwells within us. And so I can't understand it. You either need to get saved or you need to yield to it. Because, you know, I've had the privilege to write a lot of books, and if you don't understand something, you can come to the author and I can say, this is what I meant by that. Same is true of the Word of God. It's breathed life into by God. The Holy Spirit moved upon men to write the words of God. If we have the Word of God that dwells within us as we're reading it, He helps us understand it. Doesn't mean you're going to master it reading it one time, but if you want to understand something, He can give you the help to understand it. Why? Because it's not just a cultural document. It is the inspired Word of God. Everybody with me? Amen. And because it comes from God, it carries authority. Think about that. It's authority. God sent us a letter. And it's authority. Because it comes from God, it's truth. God is truth. You say, well, Pastor, I see things that don't line up with the Bible, and that looks right. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how it looks, it's wrong. Well, I haven't explained everything to you. I don't need your explanation. Truth of the matter is, and you may not understand this, I don't even have to understand everything that's being said. I just have to understand what is being said. So that I can obey it, I can follow it, I can do it because this is truth. It's power. There's power in this book. There's power in the Word of God. It's sufficient. It's sufficiency. So all I have is the Bible. You got enough? Well, I would visit your church, but all y'all do is preach. I like to be entertained. Well, that's the problem. We've got a lot of entertainment and not enough Bible. And let me help some of you that get frustrated, and understandably so, because your kids are put in environments where they're not entertained. You say, how can a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old understand the Bible? Because it's supernatural. And in some cases, I think they get more than their mom and dad. When they're in church. It's sufficient. It's enough. See, a healthy church is not looking for culture to give it direction. Say, so what are the trends? I don't care what the trends are. I want to know what the trends are just enough to know how to apply the scripture to them. Or to warn and say, this trend is coming. This is how we look at this. This is how we understand it. We don't look for psychology is not our authority. The Word of God is. This is the best psychology manual that exists. It's the Word of God. So we believe this, and as a reminder, a healthy church believes the Word of God is sufficient. It's enough. On Sunday morning, we do the main focus is preaching. Sunday night, the main focus is preaching. Thursday night, the main focus is preaching. Why? Because that's our foundation. It's enough. Well, I just like to be entertained. Well, on an off night, watch TV. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. But when it comes to the house of God, the Word of God is enough for us. It's sufficient. Number two. I could literally spend all our night on number one, but I have several more to get to. Number two. A healthy church centers its life around the Word of God. A healthy church centers its life around the Word of God. I'll not have you turn there. It's a verse that we've looked at so many times over the last few years, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Where did they get that doctrine? The early church made the Word of God central. Everything centered around it. A healthy church centers its life around the Word of God. It's not an occasional thing. It's not a secondary thing. The Bible says they steadfastly continued, unwavering. It takes priority. As the pastor of this church, the priority is the Word of God. We had a staff meeting today, and I got asked about a certain activity on a certain date in the future on a Saturday and how late they could get back. And the first response was no. And so then I had to vote them out because they and they're not pushing the boundaries, but I'm guarding the preaching time. Because if everybody's out and they fall asleep Sunday morning, but we have to fellowship. You can fellowship just be in time to be awake when you come to Sunday school. See, I'm safeguarding those things. And if I'm going to err on one side of that, I'm going to err on guarding the Word of God being the foundation. The healthy churches preach the Word of God. This church is built on preaching. They teach the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We should be studying the Word of God. You ought to be memorizing the Word of God. We ought to be applying the Word of God. I've really made this an effort this year to give, put resources in our hands so that we can study the Bible more. That's why you get those review sheets every few weeks in Sunday school. That's why some of these resources I've made available and the emphasis on study. Why? Because we have to build our lives on that. It's a reminder that the Word of God has got to be the foundation. Single adults. And I'm going to mention this. I'm going to preach a sermon. No, I'm not going to even tell you what it's about. Because some of you might leave before I get to it. I want to tell you what I'm preaching on. But some of you single adults, you say, I want to find a husband. I want to find a wife. Well, I'm sure your parents want you to as well. But it just is just a reminder. You could find somebody tomorrow. But their life would not be built on the Word of God. You would not be able to build a home on the Word of God. You would not be able to rear your children on the Word of God. And it's much better for you to not be in that situation, the Word of God. So just reminding you, as you move forward in life, look for somebody whose life's built on the Word of God, number three. And let me go back to that. The Word of God is the center of the church's life. So the church and the preaching of the Word of God ought to be the center of your life. How many of you are a member of this church? Okay. There might be some tonight who aren't officially members, but I'll let you know what I think about the bylaws, so you're in. That means it should be the center of your schedule. This is a great midweek crowd. Great midweek crowd. So I know that you're here, so this is a good reminder. You're here because the schedule centers around the preaching of the Word of God. That's why when it comes conference time, you got to be here. Special meeting time, you got to be here. Sunday school, you got to be here. It's the center of the life. Number three, a healthy church submits. Let that just hang out there for a minute. Submits to the authority of the Word of God. There's a lot of Christians who believe the Bible, they just don't submit to it. There's a lot of Christians who, King James Bible, I'd never be caught dead with anything but a King James Bible. I'm just not submitting to it. I'd rather argue with it. It's not just enough to believe the Bible. A healthy church submits to the authority of the Word. Let me tell you what I do, and if I do, I do it, I think it'd be a good practice for you. If I'm reading something in the Bible and I have a disagreement with it, I automatically assume I'm wrong. And then I have to decide, am I going to yield to what the Bible says and submit to it? James says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. So we hear the Word, but are you doing the Word? Well, Pastor mentioned tithing again. So why aren't you doing it? You heard it. I don't know why I picked that one. It just popped in my head. I could name several of them. It's not just enough to believe it. We're supposed to be submitting to it. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't like it. None of us like to do it because our flesh doesn't like to yield and submit to it. That's the first battle. That's the first line of surrender. So when I understand everything, then I'll change and surrender. No. Submit, surrender before you even understand it. And to say, I'm going to do it. That's why it's so refreshing. Many times you get new Christians and those who haven't been saved very long, and they're like, Pastor, just tell me what to do. It's like, oh. I'm not sure what to do with that. Be in every service, do this, do this, do this, service, and you just watch them grow and take off. You know why? They've decided to yield. And if I can just be blunt, first time, some of you, you'd enjoy church more. You'd enjoy your Christian life more if you would just yield to its authority. The Bible should be in charge. There's a lot of people who, you know, from COVID and all these things going on in our country, bless God, we'll never bow, our church will never bow the knee, I'll never bow the knee to this. But you can't even let it govern you in your everyday life. You're not gonna stand up to some authoritarian government. When you're still arguing with the Bible about basic things. Okay, I'm going to move quickly. A church becomes unhealthy when it hears truth but does not apply it. It agrees with Scripture but does not submit to it. We apply this collectively, but we ought to apply this individually. It picks and chooses what it will obey. Whereas healthy churches allow the Word of God to correct them. Pastor, it's not that I don't mind the Bible correcting me. It's the fact that God is using you to say the Bible to correct me. I'm sorry, it's the Bible. It's we have to be reminded of that. We healthy churches allow the Word to confront them, to guide them, to shape them. Do you let the Bible guide you? Or do you let your opinion guide you? Here's something. This is what a lot of times we do. We filter the Word of God through our opinion instead of taking our opinion and filtering it through the Word of God. Because I'm afraid sometimes if we put our opinion through the Word of God, we find out we're dumb or we're wrong. Pastor, I'm sincere. Have anybody ever been sincerely wrong? We all have been sincerely wrong. That's why we have a higher authority in the Word of God. We want to stay healthy. That healthy church submits to the authority of the Word of God. We got to get that authority thing down. I've used this illustration before, and I'll move on after this illustration. This is years ago. Years ago, I got pulled over on a road not too far from here. There's nobody on the road. When I say pulled over, that's by a police officer. They pulled me over. Nobody's on the road. It's one of those stretches where whoever makes these laws and rules are sitting in there. Where's the most likely place that there'll never be an accident, but the most likely place we can make the speed limit so low we can get a lot of money? But our government's for us. We just want to keep you safe. So it's one of those deals where, like, if you don't keep your foot on the brake, you're going to go past the speed limit. And I wasn't paying attention, and I got pulled over, and the police officer said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I was like, "Honestly, I don't." "Why were you speeding?" He's like, "I wasn't paying attention." And I'm like, "Give me a break." And that's what I was thinking, you know. And so he came back with his ticket and my license, and, you know, I would submit to you that it makes zero sense for the speed limit to be 25 miles an hour on that stretch. Zero. Bicycles are passing me. There's dogs trotting by looking in the window as they, stray dogs. It makes zero sense. Because you imagine you would be visiting me if I argued with that authority like many Christians argue with the Word of God. "Well, I don't think it's fair. Nobody asked me." You get the point. Number four. A healthy church uses the Word of God for correction and growth. Look at verse 16. "All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Word of God does four things for us. It gives us our doctrine. It shows us what is right. We get our doctrine from the Word of God. Churches who do not have the Word of God as their foundation, as their center, they're going to be off doctrinally. They're going to be off doctrinally. We get our doctrine from the Word of God. We don't go to a convention for them to tell us what we believe. We get it from the Word of God. It is the ultimate authority. So what do we believe? It's the Word of God. So let me help some of you. If you don't understand everything, why we believe what we believe as Baptists, the Word of God explains it, bears it out. It shows us what is right. That word reproof shows us what is wrong. We have to be shown what is wrong. Now, correction we can understand. It shows us how to get it right. And sometimes we look at correction and we bristle up against it. But it's like a little child. If he's not walking in the line the way he should, he's got to be shown to walk in the line. Can you imagine a 4-year-old going to kindergarten the first day with Lieutenant Replogle and or a 5-year-old, and they've never been in a line before. They know they're not supposed to eat glue. They all these different things they have to deal with. And this might not be a good illustration, but and for them not to, and I've seen her and others in elementary do this. It's like take them by the shoulder, get in line, because they don't have, you know, when they're at home, they don't have to walk in line to go to the restroom. You see, Mom, get in line and walk to the restroom. That doesn't happen. Could you just imagine that little child, when being corrected, looking up at the teacher and say, "You legalist." Getting on the internet. "I'm in school today, and I was told to get back in line. I was shown how to walk properly. I was shown how to..." Can you believe it? Made me hold my pencil a certain way. Legalism at its finest. How silly. But really, how silly is it when the Word of God corrects us? Well, that's legalism. It's showing you don't even know what the Word means. It corrects us. That's its job. If you ever read the Bible and it seems like the Bible is saying to you, "You are wrong," that means it's doing its job. If something I've said tonight out of this book hits you in a way and it's like, "Oh, that's me," don't get mad at me. It's like, "Pastor, I'm upset because the Bible did what God told us it was going to do for us. And why are you mad at me? The Bible is working. It's to correct us." Then there's instruction. It shows us how to stay right. That's what the Word of God does. Doctrine, we get, we believe. I've used this illustration before. I think back to when I was in school, and you got an answer wrong, and the teacher would put that red X on there. It's like every Christmas, what do they want? We want a vat of red ink so we can refill our red ink pens. And put that red X on there. And then you had some teachers that would make you correct it, which I was not very fond of that procedure. Correct it so you know what you got wrong, so you knew the answer. And the result of that is there are things that you remember that you first got wrong, and you remember that now, and the things you got right, you can't remember. The reason is when you're corrected from a wrong answer, from a wrong action, it sticks in your mind. And so when the Word of God tells us we're wrong, don't rebel against it. Find the right answer, so you don't get it wrong again. See, unhealthy churches, this is what they want. They want encouragement without correction. I think you should get encouraged when you come to church, and I believe you will get, you get encouraged at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Maybe it's when you come, maybe it's when you go, but you're getting encouraged. But see, it's popular today. Well, I want to go somewhere where there's, and people say, "Well, it's not negative." You know what they, we know what that means? That means you're going somewhere where the Word of God is not central. Because our thoughts, our actions, our emotions can be pretty negative. We just don't want anybody pointing it out. See, we want encouragement without correction. We want comfort without conviction. You're okay. Sometimes you're not okay. Could you imagine you, I mean, you get all these medical problems, you go to the hospital, and they're like, "I don't want to hurt their feelings. But they're going to die if they don't get this fixed." Would you tell them, "No, I didn't want to leave our hospital to go to another hospital"? You know, what kind of doctor? A doctor say, "I'd rather have it on me that I told them." You get the application. Comfort without conviction. Affirmation without transformation. I just want affirmation. What even is that? You know, I want people to tell me how good I am. People, how blessed and how loved I am. Okay, after that, what do we do? You know, how is that going to help you? How is that going to improve you? How is that going to, you know, and by the way, let me just say this. We've seen the results of this play out practically in our public education system. Just pass them. And guess what? They don't. It don't help them. It doesn't prepare them. And now we have a generation in our society. It's not really their fault. They weren't corrected. They weren't told they were wrong. They weren't told there was a higher standard to rise to. And now they can't function. And then everybody is affected by that. Spiritually speaking, it's so much more grave when that happens. And we've seen a result of that. You're okay. You're okay. You can die and go to hell thinking you're okay. The Word of God must be allowed to do His full work. I've heard it said, and I think I've heard Brother Gray say it, among others, if there's two times you ought to go to the altar. One when you feel convicted and one when you don't. So remember that on Sunday. You know, if we feel convicted, we ought to respond to that. And if we don't, we ought to at least ask the question, why am I not convicted? Number five. I'm moving quicker than I thought. Number five. A healthy church protects itself from error through the Word of God. A healthy church protects itself from error through the Word of God. I've lived long enough to see in my lifetime people who seem biblically sound, who I would submit to you, some of them were biblically sound. And if you had tried to guess that they would go the direction they went away from the Word of God, embracing false doctrine, you never would have guessed them. If you could have somebody from the future come back and tell you they now believe this, they're now teaching this, some would come to be in church and now look at what they believe. How do we protect ourselves from error? I don't want to be doctrinally wrong. It's the Word of God. And see, when Scripture is central, error is exposed. See, that's why the Word of God has got to stay first and foremost. It's got to stay our foundation, because that's how we don't become vulnerable to false teaching. This is why you ought to be in Sunday school. This is why you ought to fight to be in church. Because if you don't, you're vulnerable to be tossed to and fro. Can I help us all with something tonight? And you need to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. You are not as smart as the devil is. And so many people, they are in doctrinal error because the devil packaged something that was almost right. And they swallowed it. If he approached you with this blatant heresy, no, I would never. But it's almost right, and because we're not grounded, because the Word of God's not preached, because it's not taught. I'll use the illustration. I never planned to do a series on Sunday night on Israel and end times. But with everything going on in our country, there is so much false doctrine. It's not political. It is false doctrine. Wrapped in that. It is heresy. Your political podcasters are espousing heresy. And there are independent fundamental Baptists who have swallowed that heresy. What did he do? He packaged it in patriotism. In America first. And you know, there's a whole host of people who, if they had just opened their Bible, if they had just said, before I open my mouth or before I swallow this, let me see. I prepared these messages. You know how I did it? I studied. I looked it up. I connected dots. Now, I do believe that the Spirit of God gives the pastor some discernment so he can teach that. But he's smarter than us. That's why we've got to have the Word of God. If you miss church, you become vulnerable. You become vulnerable. See, Pastor, do you worry about your people? All the time. I'm their pastor. I worry about them. When do you worry about them the most? When they miss church. I want you to go on vacation. I go on vacation. But I look, it's like, oh, they're back, thank God. Because it's easy to get out of the habit, but the more you miss church, you are vulnerable to false teaching. Without the Word of God, we become vulnerable to cultural compromise. So many have said, well, the culture is this way. It doesn't matter. The Bible hasn't changed. It doesn't change. The culture should not dictate to us. And then here's one. This is just destroying churches and destroying Christians. And they're vulnerable because of this. It's emotional manipulation. We make our spiritual decisions based on how we feel about a situation. And that emotional manipulation, you know, we have emotions. God gave them to us. And that's why we must yield to the authority of the Word of God to govern them. Well, this is how I feel. You ought to be very scared of those words right there. You ought to be terrified of the words. Well, this is how I feel. Because how do you feel lined up with the Bible? Well, this is how I feel. Well, hold up. We have to have, because you guess what? How many of you are alive, breathing, human? Y'all have emotions. Y'all have feelings. I would guarantee you some of you feel today and you won't feel the same tomorrow. And for the ladies, you'll feel seven different ways before you get to the car tonight. I mean, it's just... I mean, to prove some of you are mad at me because I just said that. I'll tell a joke in a minute and you'll be happy again. I mean, it's okay. The point I'm making is you cannot trust your feelings. That's why you got to be careful with the social media world today, because everything plays on your feelings. Everything is about that emotional manipulation. There's doctrinal confusion. There is confusion in many of our Baptist churches today about a lot of things, and there shouldn't be. If we all say we are on this Bible, we believe this Bible, there shouldn't be any confusion in Baptist churches about Calvinism. There should be zero confusion. The Bible does not teach that God is predestined some to heaven and some to hell. The Bible teaches God knows who's going to choose Him and who's going to reject Him. So if we're reading out of the same Bible, why are we coming to different conclusions? I would have to tell you we're not. Or we're ignoring. We're not making it central. See, the Word of God anchors the church. And that's why our church has not been easily shaken, because we're grounded in the Scripture. You look, I don't have time for this tonight. I might do it at the conference this coming fall. You can go back 10 to 20 years, churches that changed their Sunday school program, they're not even close to what they were. And the reason is because we traded Bible teaching for fellowship. Now, we fellowship in our Sunday school classes, don't we? Now, some of you, it's 95% fellowship, 5% Bible teaching. We'll get to those classes eventually, but it's okay. But it still should be structured around the Word of God. It's the thing that keeps us who we are and what we are and why we are. We're all vulnerable. If I did not make the Bible the central part of my life, my ministry, I'm vulnerable to change. That's why people change. God didn't suddenly become wrong. I mean, you've noticed it. Well, they always believe this, and we were in church together, and now they say they don't believe it. The Bible didn't change. The pastor didn't just one day wake up and all of a sudden he's an idiot. I've been that way for a while. I didn't wake up that way today. You get the point I'm making. God does not change. His Word does not change. And we're all vulnerable if we stray from the Word of God. Number six, a healthy church produces spiritually strong believers through the Word. The Word feeds the believer. Even Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, a healthy church is not one who, and I want more facilities. I'm thankful for what we have, but that's not the measure. Pastor, what's your focus? That we produce believers that are grounded in the truth, stable in faith, discerning in doctrine, growing in Christ. Weak churches produce weak Christians. So we have to stay strong on the Word of God. Strong churches produce strong Christians. Where do we get that strength? It comes from the Word of God. Then number 7, a healthy church passes the Word of God to the next generation. One of the greatest responsibilities of a church is to ensure that truth continues to the next generation. Healthy churches invest in teaching children. And again, I'll circle back to some of you parents, God bless you, who are in that stage of life where you're trying to get your child to sit still in a church service when they can't sit still at the supper table, they can't sit still watching Tom and Jerry. Do y'all still watch Tom and Jerry? Or is that just me? I watch Tom and Jerry. They come watch it with me. They don't sit still for nothing. And it's like, well, they're not sitting still in church. Well, you make them go to those other things where they don't sit still. But God bless you. You're struggling. There's several having a prayer meeting out in the lobby right now. By the way, I don't get upset at that. Not at all. It is training. A child has to be trained in order for the Word of God to do what the Word of God needs to do. It's important. And I would submit that a church who struggles through what some of you struggle through with your children in getting them trained, it's a stronger church, it's a stronger generation. I'll touch on this and then I'll move on. This is the last point tonight. Is there are churches today wondering, what happened to that next generation? It's nothing but old people. Or should I say, now that I'm in my 50s, older people. Somebody had a milestone birthday today. They're older, 8 years older than me, but that's a whole other point. So, what was I saying? Old ladies, old people, old... Oh, they're like, where's that generation at? And they never had them in church as a child. They had teen hour for them with pizza and a Bible lesson and some fun. And then at 19 years of age, they say, now go over there to church, and they hadn't been in church their whole life. Ooh, I don't want to go in there. He's not entertaining me. Am I getting pizza? And then the whole generation is gone. We train them not to sit in church. We train them not to go to church. It's teaching their children. It's discipling the young people. It's training new leaders. It's equipping families. The Word of God does that. That's our goal of the church. Because if the next generation, somewhere we pass it from our generation to that next generation, if they can get past everything, but if they don't get past the Word of God, they don't have a future. The church is going to lose its future. See, if we're truly going to be a healthy church, one of the aspects of a healthy church is we're not just concerned with today. We always have to be thinking of tomorrow. I'm literally, with God as my helper, trying to make decisions today that are not for today. But how is this going to play 20 years from now? Well, Pastor, it's not fair for us to have to sacrifice and not reap the benefits. Well, tell that to the people who shed their blood on foreign shores. So we can tell that to those Christians who were thrown in the Colosseum with the Bible. I didn't choose it. God allows certain things and different people in certain generations to bridge that gap. He just says there's got to be a faithful man, hand to a faithful man. He didn't say it'd be a bed of roses. He didn't say it'd be a party when you did it. But it says that's what's going to happen. Some of you, you're going to be bloodied when you pass it off. But that's just the reality of it. And it doesn't mean we're not enjoying anything, because we certainly are enjoying the benefits of God. By the way, you know, just remind you about camp property. We're enjoying the benefits of God. It's like, well, my kids are already grown. Well, then you can afford to help us build something on it then. See how God worked that out. A healthy church is not just concerned with today. So as we continue to press forward as a church, we're always thinking about what's left. Who's left behind? What's going to take place a generation from now? Then as we close, we must challenge us tonight individually, as families, and as a church. We must keep the Word of God at the center of everything we do. Because the health of our church rises and falls on our relationship with the Bible. We must keep it central. We must continue to preach it as it is. We must obey it. You say, how am I going to help my church? Pastor, you joke about the camp, but I'd love to be, but I just don't have anything. Let me tell you what you do. You obey that book right there. God controls all of that. You obey that right there. I'll refer back to that camp property. We're not having to pay $1 for it. Not even to transfer the deed. We're not having to pay $1 for it. You want me to tell you what I think? You know what I think God did? God allowed all of that to happen because we just said, let's just keep obeying the Bible. Amen. Doing what He tells us to do. And as long as we do that, God can do it. He's proven that. But just once again. So if you want to help your church be healthy, you obey this book. You keep it prominent in your life. You train your children. You point another generation to it. You read it. Keep it central. See, if we're going to stay healthy, we've got to stay in the Word of God. This is elementary stuff. But it's stuff that we overlook. We take for granted. Because it's sometimes it's easier to ride personality, talent. But it comes back to that foundation. We have to have the Word of God. What separates us is the Word of God. It separates. We got to have the Word of God. It's got to be preeminent. It's got to be what we continue to build on. And as we have, God's blessed us all of these years. And I want another generation. And then another generation. The Lord tarries is coming. I want generations from now. The Emmanuel Baptist Church is still pressing on. It is still doing what it's been called to do. And that can happen. Oh, we have to leave it a bunch of buildings. No, we got to leave it this. We have to leave it the Word of God. And by the way, we don't know what's going to happen a year from now, 2 years from now, 4 years from now. We don't know any of that. But we do know what still stands. We still know what's still true. We still know what can get us through our darkest times. We God's been good at this church, and we've got a lot to rejoice for, but can I tell you what's comforted me in my lowest times? It hasn't been the color of carpet. It's been this book. It hasn't been luxury. Well, you know, I'm really in a hard time right now. If we had an extra inch of cushion on our chairs, it would just make these tough times a little easier. If you're thinking that in your crisis, you're not really in a crisis. What's comforted us? This book's comforted us. This is what's precious. This is what's important. This is what we have to have. This is what's been passed down. My responsibility as a pastor, and I want to do this. I want to pass on a property. I want to pass on buildings. I want to pass on programs. I want to pass on all of those things. But that's not my main responsibility. My main responsibility is if you're out in the middle of a field assembling, if you got this, you got enough. You have everything you need. That's my first responsibility. Pastor, if people get upset and they leave, that's less money in the offering plate, and it means we can't. This is more precious. Yes, we know this, and everything I'm saying, everybody in here sign off on it, but it's good for us to be reminded. Amen. This is what's preeminent. This is what cannot be compromised. This is what keeps us healthy. Do you want your church to be healthy? Stay in this book. Yeah. Every once in a while, say amen to the preacher when he's preaching. Yeah. Every once in a while, nod your head. And then, on the rare occasion, actually do it. Do what's preached. I mean, that would be awesome. No, I joke. Let's keep the Bible the center of our life. Father, we